It took you a while to come back with this album. I mean, you've done a lot of other things like Tim Peace and whatever. Yeah. What happened?
Obviously, for the band, John's death was the most significant thing. Mm. But up till that point, there was lots of significant things. I mean, for me personally, moving from Los Angeles to London, that was a significant thing. And then writing a book was a significant thing. But you know, all these significant things were completely, you know, like put into major perspective when our friend and drummer John died in a band, and he wanted to make another Charlatans record, and we tried to make it with him, and there's a few attempts at doing that, but it just didn't work out because he wasn't very well. You know.
Was that album somehow inspired by that in any way?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it was inspired by many, many things, but it's hard to know when you can only really make a record when it feels right and there's a response from every member in the band. And with this record, it's that time seemed to be after John died, really. It was like leading up to it. He had 1 year in remission, and then then the last like 9 months he kind of got sicker and sicker and sicker, and he'd want to play, so he'd come to the studio and he couldn't, but he'd think that he could. Martin and John have been my friends for so long, and you know, I think it brought Martin's heart, really. But then we had a massive kind of like celebration. Concert promoters SJM in Britain offered to put a concert on for John, and we said that we'd play, and then lots of people wanted to come and play. You know, James from the Manics and Liam came along, and Johnny Marr sent a really nice video, a message and stuff like that, and you know, just everyone came and paid their respects. And then after that, really, was the time that we felt that we could make a record, you know.
I mean, talking about the record, actually, the music itself is so happy-go-lucky pop, while the lyrics, some of them at least, are really deep, like Trouble Understanding, for example. Mm.
It's hard to say what was intentional and what wasn't. I mean, you know, that, you know, as well as John and we all had, you know, stuff that we dealt with as individual people over 5 years since we made the album before. So it's kind of a big gap. Mm. And when we all got to the studio end of 2013, we just sat like in four chairs, just like this, just sat around facing each other with one little idea. And it's kind of like a passing game, you know. It's like we started off with a drum loop and someone else came up with a little bit, and this idea grew into a song. And we just started again very slowly and with very small ideas. We didn't really kind of like have a plan, apart from we wanted to make something that was as great as we could. But you know, but we didn't have anything, so we had to start very small. And so the idea wasn't to do anything shallow or specifically pop music, but we did want to make something that made us feel happy. And it was very, very cold when we started writing, and we dreamt of exotic places, and you know, wanted to make stuff that, you know, made us feel warm.
So at the end, maybe you did come home, kind of, you know.
Yeah, like, there's so many kind of you know, the first song really that we came up with was a track called Keeping Off, and that was kind of quite. So it was quite soulful. And then Talking in Tones, that was the next one that we came up with. Trouble Understanding came a lot later. It was originally called Nature. It was kind of like a link to the title of the album, Modern Nature, which is obviously from a Derek Jarman book, which I was around at some friends of mine's house, and the book fell on my head as I was moving some stuff around, and I took it as an Isaac Newton moment. Just thought, oh, it's a sign, you know. Or maybe John just threw it at me or something, I don't know. Yeah. It's lots and lots of things made up the album, you know. I wouldn't know where to begin, but, you know, it's... Yeah, we wanted to make something that made us feel happy.
Is there a lyrical theme?
Lyrical, yeah. I mean, I suppose... I mean, trouble understanding. I just sat at home and I've been lived in LA and a big house and all that kind of stuff. Moved to London, Seven Sisters, lived in a warehouse with 10 other people for 3 years. And eventually that place got demolished.
Like back in the old days in the 90s.
It was absolutely just, it was like living in a rave. And, and it's just like, it's kept really as clean as we could, but there's just like mice everywhere. And I managed to make a solo record and write a book. But now I live in this really nice little house in Norfolk, but it's really small. It's got a little garden and a tree. And I just sat there and just thought, death, Then my baby was born, it's like, kind of like a cycle of life. Green leaves, brown leaves. Just like this cycle, and I don't know whether that's the theme, but it was in that one song, that In Trouble Understanding. I was happy to have new life, which is the birth of my son. And if I was feeling at all, it really helped me through getting over John's death, the birth of my son, and that kind of just thinking, it's just a thing, isn't it? It's like, we've been going 20 years, two of us are dead. Out of the three of us, one of the three of us is going to go next.
No, come on. Maybe John.
Hopefully not. Oh, it's true. But hopefully not until I'm 85 or 90 or even maybe, I don't know.
Maybe John's watching over your newborn as his guiding spirit.
It was very, very funny you should say that. As I went to visit him in hospital and, he was lying there in bed, and the only thing he said to me, because he kept going in and out of consciousness, but the only thing he said to me was, "How's your little boy?"
Talk about that book. What was that about?
Well, it was called Telling Stories, and it was my first kind of first thing I've ever written. And some people might say, "Ah, I can tell," but I worked very hard at it. The first draft was in capital letters and no full stops, I rewrote it about 5 or 6 times and people kind of commented on, and it kind of grew over a year. I worked on it every single day for a year, and it had a few false starts because I didn't really know what I was doing, but I had some stories to tell, and I wanted to tell it in a particular way, like it was a conversational thing.
Yeah.
And people seemed to like it. I learned about comedy and how to get a good punchline in and stuff like that.
And what about Tempe? Because it's still going.
Yes, it is still going. Yeah, I mean, it's mostly a summer thing, really. I mean, well, the coffee thing's an all-year-round thing. And you can just buy that in a... I have an online shop and stuff like that, Tempe. And, you can buy music and the coffee and stuff like that. But Tempe really comes to life in the summer. At the festivals, Field Day, it's going to be bigger. It's going to be our third year at Field Day, and it's going to be bigger than it has been. It's going to be our third year at Isle of Wight. And then Kendall Calling, it's the fourth year at Kendall Calling, and it's going to be bigger and better than ever. And
Glastonbury.
Glastonbury take the coffee. They have it someone else sells it for us at Glastonbury. Mm. It's at Best of All, and it's represented everywhere. Sometimes it goes solo, it doesn't need me. And sometimes but most of them I'm there at the festivals with it.
Is it just coffee or is it snacks and coffee?
Yeah,
and
no, it's coffee and food. Yeah.
Wow, where did the idea to that come from?
A mate of mine, he had. He had the coffee pot in the Northern Quarter, in Manchester, and he passed it on about 6 years ago. But he had quite a good experience in cafes and bars and stuff like that. But I just basically what happened really is that I'd started out on Twitter as Tim Burgess from the Charlatans, and I had about 3,000 followers. Which I thought was about right, really, for someone in a band who didn't really do that much with it. I just posted, favourite videos and a few gigs that I was playing and stuff like that. And then one day I just woke up and said, anyone fancy a coffee? And I got more response from that than anything that I posted. So I thought, oh, right, okay, this is amazing. People just really want to interact, and that's all it's here for. So every morning I just woke up and said, do you want a coffee? Do you want a coffee? And eventually it'd be like people saying, yeah, I'll have a flat white, or I'll have a black coffee, or whatever. And I would say, here you go, the sugar at the end of the table. But, you know, and just keep it going. And then I'd have an imaginary jukebox. And then someone said, I need a name. And because I'm a fan of David Lynch, someone said, do Tim Peaks. And I thought, great idea.
Nice one.
And then I need a sign. And, you know, it became a real thing then, as opposed to just being a metaphorical.
And it's made you a bit richer, didn't it?
It doesn't make me rich at all, because I give it all away.
Oh, is it all for charity?
It's all for charity, yeah.
Wow, so yeah, what...
The David Lynch Foundation for meditation and, you know, well-being. You know, people with post-traumatic stress, and people who've come back from, you know, fighting in the wars and stuff like that. And
do you meditate yourself?
I do. Twice a day, every day. In fact, I'm ready for one right now.
What kind of meditation do you do?
A transcendental meditation. It's a mantra that you get from an initiation. You kind of, you know, you get given a mantra. Mm-hmm. And it's worked on your physiology, really. The person who gives you the mantra checks your physiology, and you get it from that. And you kind of sit and you repeat the mantra, and you repeat the mantra for 20 minutes, basically.
Wow.
And kind of goes by pretty fast, and a lot of people say, oh, I don't know whether I can give up 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the evening. It seems like such a long time, but you gain so much back from it that you know, I just get twice as much done in a day now than I ever have.
What's next? Any touring plans?
Well, we've got some dates in March, and we just confirmed three Japanese dates today too. So
what about Germany?
Oh yeah, well, you know, I mean, it'd be rude to ignore Germany, but I mean, we will. It's just I don't know when yet. I mean, it's still quite early. I mean, things are just coming quite slowly but surely. You know, doing a few nice things, a few secret things that I can't say yet. But you know, it's looking good. People seem to really like the record. So.
What is so oh?
So oh. Kind of just, I don't know, I suppose it depends. I think I saw something written, or I was writing something, and I wrote, oh, so this, and then I just kind of flipped it around, so, oh, and it just felt good, saying it. It just, I don't know. Yeah. And
sounds sexy,
yeah. And I think the song sounds pretty sexy. You know, it was a really uplifting song, written in the freezing cold
in Manchester.
Yeah, it was in Manchester with gloves on. Yeah.
Do you go back to Manchester at all?
Yeah, well, the album was made in Manchester, so I was there for 7 months this last year, and I was there at the weekend doing a little bit of writing in the studio.
More writing. Is there anything else happening? New albums?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm always doing solo stuff. So working with a composer from New York at the moment. Wow. So I just
anyone I know? Or?
Yeah, Peter Gordon. I did a record with him for Record Store Day last year.
Yeah, I remember.
A song called Oh Men.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing a new one with him for the new Record Store Day.
Are we allowed to ask what it's called?
Yeah, it's called Tracks of My Past.
Your past life or past in this life?
Well, it's in brackets. I was going to call it First Time Looking Back, because I quite like that, because I've never really looked back on my life at all, really. You know, I always try and look forward, you know, but it's kind of quite nice to...
You know what? Remember the first time I talked to you? I tried to talk to you about the old Hacienda days.
Yeah.
And I remember you saying that you didn't like to look back on your past.
Yeah, no, I never really do, but I mean, you know, I'm older, you know, so it's like...
And you said to me that you didn't like to relive it because it's so painful.
Oh, well, I mean, there has been pain, but I mean, not really. You know. Feeling... I'm not feeling so good, but it's never been painful in a way, you know, never been that, well, I don't know, I mean, you know, the whole Rob thing was kind of quite traumatic, to be honest, but people have, you know, everybody has problems, don't they, you know.
Thank you so much, hon.